Paul, I didn't mean to disrespect your pastor a while ago. I want you to know that. I honor that. And, okay. You better take it while you can get it, big boy. So, it's good to meet the Woolies. And I think it's our first time to meet them. And thank you again for the offerings. I tell people everywhere I go, your offering is not coveted, but it is appreciated. And we've got cards. We can make it home. Okay, we may have to work, get a job, pay them off, but amen. Well, Brother Estes this morning talked about a Christmas message, and we're just going to go back to the winter, Sister Caroline, if that's okay. And we're going to preach a Christmas message tonight myself. This message came to me. My son-in-law, who is my pastor, preached a message out of the first part of this, and so stirred my heart that I dove into it. And I'm going to do my best to not be lengthy. Debbie says, Philip, you need to divide that up and preach that as a series. And if I was going to be somewhere consistently, I probably would do that. And I want to concise this. It took me about 6 weeks to preach this at Richmond. But I felt this. We're going to try and encapsulate everything that has been said this week and bring this into a focus of who it's all about. You love Jesus?
Yes.
Amen. Go with me to the book of Isaiah. And I hope you'll help me tonight. I'm just going to rear back here and do my best to preach to you. By the grace of God. Say thank you to Brother Metzger and Sister Metzger, Peter and Hannah, that took us up to Glacier yesterday. My second trip, and I've gone home after that first trip up there, and I said, Debbie, sometime. We started to go years ago, and Lockwoods was with us, and their van caught a fire on the interstate, and so we had to turn around and come back. And she didn't get to go up there, so man, I'm telling you, it was a highlight of my life to be in Glacier with her and let her see that. And thank you for making that possible. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, and I'm going to take one verse, verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Years ago I preached this at Faith, not this message, but on that subject, and one of the young ladies come to me after church and said, he's so big, it just takes one shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I want to take those names and talk to us a little bit upon this subject of, I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, I want to hasten and say, where it says the government, the greatest thing to the Jewish people is a king. They're still striving for a king. And they're looking for the one who is, and if you go over there today, you know, they want to talk about their great King David. And that's okay. But there's coming a day when he will rule again. Only not David, but his seed. Amen. Jesus Christ. And so that's why that little point is in there. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Man, won't that be wonderful?
Amen.
I mean, look at the government we're having to live under today, not just here in America, but around the world. Amen. Won't it be wonderful to have him have all the governing power? Because I know him. He's pure. He's holy. He's righteous. He's loving. He's kind. He's gracious. He will be the king.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so today, tonight, I want to talk about these names. Let's just jump into this. Wonderful. The word wonderful in Hebrew is pele, P-E-L-E. And it just simply means a miracle. All right, miracle. First of all, the miracle of his person, who he is. Amen. John 1 and chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. What? All things were made by him, and without him was what? Not anything made that was made. In him was life. You cannot live your life without him. Amen. In him was life. And guess what? That life was what? The light of men. Until then, it's darkness. Amen. He said that the world didn't comprehend that. That word comprehend isn't what we usually use, but it simply means, and the darkness could not overcome it. Amen. If we used to turn out all these, close these shades up, turn all this off, you know, all the electricity, everything, and it was pitch black in here, and I was to light a match in this place, amen. Light is overcoming darkness, not darkness overcoming light. And that's what happened when Jesus came into this world. He overcame darkness. It could not conquer him. So it just means a miracle, the miracle of his person. Hebrews 1, God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake unto us of old, but hath in these last days spoken unto us, what? By his Son. Can I read it to you? God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I could read that whole chapter. It explains who he is. Amen. You should never belittle who Christ is. Amen. Isaiah 53. Amen. I could go through all that. Amen. But I know we're in a hurry to eat pulled pork and potato chips and get grease. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of what? Did you know there's a penalty to have peace? It costs to have peace. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Who he is. Lord, hurry this up. Amen. The miracle of his person, but also the miracle of his purpose. I told Brother Estes, I'm not an alliterating person. My son-in-law, every time he preaches, he's got 3 points and they always rhyme. I said, these guys that do that are like a fine, exquisite chef. And they lay the meal out there in courses and it makes you want to eat it. I said, I'm the old country cook. I just throw it out there, and if you want it, you can have it. All right? Amen. But the miracle of his purpose. Amen. There's one text that said, and they gazed upon him there. They're talking about Calvary. What I just explained to you, who he was, God. Christ, God 100% man, 100% God. Amen. But here he is, him there on the cross. Sure, what was his purpose? You here, but he was there. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. Miracles. A definition of miracles is a suspension of the laws of nature. The water and the wine. You ever thought about that? how long it takes for a grape to come to full fruition? How long for that grape to grow on the vine? It's got to have the right amount of sunshine. It's got to have the right amount of nutrients in the ground. It's got to have the right amount of water. It's got to have the right amount of everything it needs. Amen. And then it's got to be at the perfect time for you to pick it. And then once you pick it, you've got to take it back to the threshing floor or the treading floor, and you press it out to get the fine stuff. But all Jesus did was bless it. Suspended the law. Have you ever thought about the bread that was fed to the 5,000? Amen. He bypassed the process of planting a grain of wheat in the ground. He bypassed the process of it having the right amount of sunshine. He bypassed the process of it having the right amount of moisture. He bypassed the process of it having the right amount of minerals. And he bypassed the process of them harvesting the grain. He bypassed the process of them threshing it out. He bypassed the process of them pressing it out. Amen. He bypassed the process of it being baked, and he just blessed it. Amen. Suspended the law. What about the fish? He bypassed the process of the daddy fish and the mama fish coming together. He bypassed the process of the baby fish escaping the predators. He bypassed the process, amen, of it growing to full fruition. And then he bypassed the process of the fishermen casting their nets and pulling it into shore. He bypassed the process of whether they laid it on a piece of tin or they cooked it. He just blessed it and broke it. That's my God. He is a miracle worker. Amen. Have you ever thought about the process that he bypassed to walk on water? Amen. Have you ever thought about the process? Wow. That day that he made the sun stand still. Amen. One time in the history of the world did it stop, but it stopped because of him. Well, I'm about to feel like preaching to you. What miracle do you need? Amen. Nature says you must die of cancer. Diagnosis says that. The law of nature says that you must die of a heart attack. That's what they tell you anyway. If these were pews and I was sure that they were secured, I may run the backs of them a little bit here. Amen. But I don't trust you to stay sitting. Okay. Amen. The law of nature tells you, amen, hallelujah, that you've got issues in your body. But my God can touch you and in an immediate moment make it go away. Amen. Nature says that your home is destined to split up. Amen. But my God can touch the home, the hearts in the home, and keep it together. Amen. I've got to go on. You see why it took me so long to preach this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. But my God is a miracle. Okay. I know it said wonderful, but the word wonderful, why can't we say wonderful when we're looking at miracle? Amen. Why can't we say miracle and we're thinking about the wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can anybody in here attest to the fact that he is a wonderful miracle? Amen. That's who he is. Okay. The next thing it says about him, he's a counselor. All right. That is the Hebrew word yaats, Y-A-A-T-S. And it means simply to advise, deliberate, or to resolve. Okay. I've got some notes written down here as an advisor. Everything we think about. When I say, hey, have you talked to the advisor? Most of the time we talk about finances, financial advisor. I already gave you my tick on that last Sunday when I taught you that you needed to teach your children to give. Three types of giving in the New Testament. That's tithing. That's what? You guys help me now. Tithing, offerings, and alms, okay? And they're all in there. I've told you, I pay my tithe so God won't kill me. Amen. I give him my offerings so he'll bless me. Amen. And I pay my alms so he'll remember me. Amen. Remember that? Oh, you know what? That word in there, Sister Caroline, you talked about that seek ye first. Amen. Hallelujah. But he says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Right on. Do you know what the word righteousness means? It means equity. Equity. So I'm seeking God. I'm doing what I'm doing. and I'm building equity up with God, all right? We built a house back in Kentucky, and it was, what, 3,600 square feet, something like that. And we had the two boys, Sergio and Granny, with us, and we built it to accommodate that. All right, by the time we'd lived there 3 years, hey, man, I used to tell everybody, the bank owns the majority of this house. I own one bathroom. Because I had built up equity. So when I put everything I've got to seeking first the kingdom of God, amen, I'm building up equity with God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, when one of my kids are sick, amen, I want God to say, well, let's reach back in here to Sanders Equity Fund. Come on now. Amen. When my wife is needing some, or we're having a financial difficulty and we're praying about it, God says, hey, 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 they built up some equity with me. I can trust them. I know who they are. Hey, amen. Amen. You see, most of us don't have enough equity to call on him and him answer. But I want to be able to call on him. And he knows who I am. And he can answer my prayer. He's an advisor with your finances. Sometimes it doesn't even seem rational. And God says, do it. You ever been there? And guess what? It's okay. He takes care of it. Amen. What about an advisor for your future? Man, I tell you what, there's a night or two here. Brother Estes got to preaching about what's going to be happening. Was it Friday night? He got to preaching about what's going to happen after, you know, Jesus comes. He says, if the lamb and the lion will lay down in the millennium. Okay, have you ever thought about what it's going to be like in tribulation when that's rolled over? Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be here. I don't want my family being here. I don't want my grandchildren being here. I want to make sure that they know that they are ready. Amen. I want to do my best to purge myself now so that when that comes, what's your future? Well, the best thing is put your trust in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth with moth and rust and thieves. Amen. But lay it up where the kingdom of heaven is. Hallelujah. Keep doing it, Brother Zane. Amen. Keep going, sister Erica, amen. And the rest of them. If I can't remember her name, I won't remember their names. All right? Amen. So keep doing it. Keep giving it to God. Amen. Seek first, not second, not third, not fourth, but for your future's sake. Yes. We live so much for the now. I think it's maybe Brother Estes this morning said, we got to look ahead. We got to see what's going down the road here. That's why I want to go in the stable. I want to be counted worthy. That's what the New Testament did. Let me be counted worthy to suffer for you. All right, I got to get on. Amen. Do you need a counselor for your family? I think it's your pastor. We talk so much. That told me that the devil works in relationships. Hello? How many of you are married? In our marriage course, we talk about, and we've done it here, and you may, I'm just bringing this back to your memory for some of you young married couples, is we talk about, Emerson Eggerich wrote a book, it was called Love and Respect. And in that, he explains that men are commanded to love their wives. Why? Because love isn't in us. We're about respect. Women are commanded to honor or respect their husbands. And don't shout me down. Why? Because respect is not in them. Okay? If I got on an airplane, sat down beside Brother George, Do you think I'd look over him and say, are you married? I hope he'd hit me. Amen? But what do I say when I sit down and say, hey, man, what's your name? George Gruel. What's yours? Philip Sanders. Yeah. What's the next question? What do you do? Because I'm sizing him up. I'm trying to see who's the big dog in the pen. Okay? And if he's doing something bigger than me, I say, oh, good. Yeah. If I think I can do better than him, I say, you know what I do? Okay? Why? Because we are all about stature. We're all about respect. Now, if Debbie got on a plane and she down sat down beside Sister Debbie, would she look over and say, what do you do? No. What would be the first question she asked? There you go. Are you married? Do you have children? Do you have grandchildren? Why? Because a woman is created by God for relationship. So therefore, the devil works in relationships. Now, what happens, and I'll just give you this little brief course here. What happens when she doesn't give me respect, then I'm not going to give her love. And if I don't give her love, she don't give me respect. Eggerich calls that the crazy cycle. So how do you stop that? Has anybody ever been there? Okay. All right. Peter, would you and Hannah come up here? We can use you for examples. Okay. So how do you get out of that crazy cycle? Because some of them, some homes have been in that for years. They have no relationship with each other. And I'm not talking about sensual. I'm talking about communication. Because they're afraid that issue's going to come back up again. So how do I get out of that? I always say I'm the guy in our marriage that does it because it's the more mature one. Do I get a witness in the house? Okay. But it is the one who is seeking to have that good relationship. It's the one who is striving to let God work in their life. Honey, you know good and well, this isn't our chorus, I know this, but you know good and well, girls, ladies, when you said something to him that wounded him, it wounded his stature. Guys, you know good and well when you did something or said something that hurt her love. And what we got to understand is we're all goodwill people. She didn't mean to do that. He didn't mean to do that. It just come out, at least on the man's side. I mean, the women's side may be a little different, but he didn't mean to do that. So what do you do? Amen. You say, as soon as you see that come over his face, and he doesn't have to spin tires and go out to drive. Hello. He doesn't have to stomp out because men are the greatest in the world about stonewalling. We build that up and we just walk off. I don't want to be here. And so we leave out and we go and think about that. And none of us ever pout. We just go off to ourselves and think about it. And she's expressive responsive. She wants it fixed and wants it fixed now. Don't you leave this house until we have got this solved. Boy, Chris, come on up here, will you? And so what we've got to do is as soon as we see that happen, we say, honey, I'm sorry, that wasn't respectful. Now try and fight after that. Sonny, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. That wasn't loving. I didn't say that right. You want a counselor? Do you want an advisor for your marriage? Thank God for a dad and mom who cares enough that will help us. And that's what I mean, my children. Thank God for that. And I told you last Sunday morning that there was that time that my son-in-law called and said, boy, your daughter's needing help. And it wasn't fussing. She was just having an issue. Okay, nerves was just about to get a hold of her. Her kids, matter of fact, one of them, she said, I could just throw him out the window. Well, don't do that, honey. Okay, but she was there. Has anybody else ever been there? Okay. You know what I said? I said, Jonathan, you grab your little wife and you grab your other two kids and you pull them up right close to you. I'll pray for you. Okay, I will pray for you, but it's time for you to grow up and be the man and the priest of your home. Amen. Grab them up into your arms, wrap them around them, and before you ever call him or her or me or her, you pray it through yourself. We'll war with you. We'll stand with you. But it's time for you to rebuke the devil in your relationship. Boy, pray for me, honey. Amen. I understand you guys have just went through the Bevere book, The Bait of Satan. Wasn't that awesome? I'd read it and then I'd want to go burn it. I'd read a little bit more of it and I'd think, it'd just break me down. Amen. 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 You realize, and he may have said this, 18:70 of Matthew, he said offenses are going to come. That word offenses is, I can't really pronounce it in the Greek, but it means scandal, a trap, a stick, like a bent sprig, a snare. Amen. Isn't it just like the devil to put a little old snare out there for you in a relationship between you and her, or you and them, or you and that, or this person in the church? Isn't it like him? He's prepared it. Don't you think he doesn't know what it's going to take for you, your weakness and where it's at? But greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Oh, yes. Give me God. Do you need some counseling? Do you need an advisor on holiness? Thank you, Peter. Folks, holiness is right. It's right for everything in your life. You may not understand it, and that's all right. If you'll go ahead and seek before God, go ahead and... Now, there's. I understand. You got a cooker going? Is it time-centered? Okay. We'll be here till about midnight, somewhere along in there. Amen. I understand, okay? I understand we all don't absorb it at once. Okay, I really do. I know it's something that we have to adapt to, but I also know that sometimes we come into church and we see others living this way, and so we adapt a corporate standard because we want to be a part of them. Amen. We get saved. We change. Amen. We do what God wants us to do. I shared this with some of us on a personal basis. I think Jay George and maybe Brother Estes. Brother Routon was our church. And he got off on beards. Now understand, this is just an example. Okay? Well, listen to me all the way through before you get out of here. So Brother Routon said, beards are nothing but male makeup. Yeah. Well, I raised my kids different than that. So when we got to lunch, eating lunch, Israel spoke up and said, now, Brother Routon, my dad always raised me that you need to have a scripture to back up what you say, and you didn't. So I'd like to know why you believe that. Great question. Absolutely. Now, I'm glad he did it because he explained something. He said, well, son, there's three things. He said, number one, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. All things are lawful for me, but all things, what's the second one? Are not expedient. Thank you. And then all things are lawful for me, but I refuse to be brought in under any of those. Now, let me jump off of the beards. Kevin, put your switch up. All right. Let me jump off of that and just say that should be the status for every one of our convictions on holiness. It's lawful for me, but is it going to edify the body where I am serving Him? Is it going to make everybody come closer to unity? I've seen some fellas, they didn't need a beer because they just said, bless God, I don't care what anybody says. This is what I'm going to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, and I ain't going to believe it. I don't care what you think, and they sit back there and puff up every time it's mentioned. The second thing is, it's not expedient. Is it going to expedite the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or is it going to hinder my testimony where I'm living? And the third thing is, if you do it, what is it opening the door for you to be subjected to, not just your beard? And I'm not harping on that. But whatever you do. It's not about now. It's about down the line. Honey, pray for me, will you? I'm not one of these guys who believe a woman has to wear dresses to her ankles. Okay? But, you know, trends go round and round. Okay? I preach to my guys at home, I'm not against you having a beard. Hey, man, why you got it? If it's because of trend, you're wrong. I'm not against you guys here, okay? You can understand that. But if it's because everybody else is doing it, then you're wrong. Because the one you ought to be talking to is this right here. And down here. Lord, is this right for me? Gals, okay? We're in a society, man, I remember, you remember miniskirts? 400 years ago? Okay? Man, I wish I'd have kept some of the clothes I had back then, Brother Woolley. I can make some bucks on them, right? Not my miniskirts, okay? I want you to know that. Okay? Amen. Amen. I have went to church, Pastor. I didn't ask him if I could preach this. He don't care. I went to church. I was embarrassed to be a preacher because of who sat on the front row. If you've got to constantly, way too short. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about people who's just gotten in or who are not saved. I'm talking about, is what you are doing now, ladies, going to make it easier for you to do something next week? My wife, I don't see stuff. I'm dumb as a box of rocks, plus I'm colorblind. Okay, shades, I can't tell that. She said, did you know Kayla's putting on a little foundation? Did you know Kayla's doing this? Did you know Kayla's got this going on in her life? I said, no, I didn't notice it, but I will look. So, in the process, I said, sis, I see you're struggling. She's working out in the world. And folks, the world's wicked. Amen. And so I went to her and I said, sis, is this happening? She said, yeah. And I said, well, you got younger sisters and you're in a leadership role in the church. So I'm going to give you a couple weeks to really pray about this. And then we'll sit down and talk again. And if it doesn't change, then I'm going to have to take some steps for those, what's it bringing you in subjection to? So, at the end of that 2 weeks, she said, I'm going to go to church, Dad. I said, okay, if I lock the doors? I said, sure. After 8 hours of prayer, she come back with tears streaming down her face. Okay? What's it opening the door in your life? What's it opening the door in your children? If you feel comfortable doing it now, are they going to feel more comfortable doing it in a less manner than what you are? Oh, I feel this. I feel like talking to you. Be careful. Because it's not all about you. It's all about who's following you. Your children, their children, other children. You don't want to have that on your hands. Be careful. Are you questioning about holiness? Yeah, it's okay. We've got everything out there in the world on the internet now. Bless the Lord. This Berean stuff's full of the devil. I'll say it again. This Berean stuff's full of the devil. If you've got a question about some holiness issue, go to your pastor. First of all, get on your knees up here and say, God, I just don't understand this. I'm not sure about this. I don't know how to go about it. But then go to your pastor and be honest. Don't go in rebellion, but go honest and sit down and say, hey, pastor, can you help me understand this? I don't understand what this is doing or why this is. Don't go to the stinking internet to find your answers. Amen. You can find anything you want out there. Amen. I've got to be careful because she'll answer me here. Driving down the road yesterday, I wonder how deep a flathead leg is, all right? Siri? and boy, bright up, amen. Hallelujah. You can ask about anything you want. And amen. I say, Brother Zane, you want to write something down? Amen. I think I coined this phrase. I don't know whether I have or not. Amen. We're living in an hour of arrogance. Okay? Knowledge without experience brings arrogance. You hear me? Okay. But knowledge with experience brings wisdom. Amen. Amen. So go to somebody who's been down the line, who's drove a nail and hit his thumb multiple times on how you want a nail drove. Amen. Follow somebody. Go to somebody who's dealt with these issues before. Amen. And instead of backing up and saying, I don't believe it, and so-and-so said. Amen. Instead of all that stuff, give down to the book and go to your pastor and ask a question and then get it settled in the altar. But Peter already said, we said it this morning, yeah, it'll hurt. Yes, you'll have to die out. Yes, it's a place of blood. It's a place of sacrifice. But let me tell you, it's worth it.
Amen.
And he said, he's a mighty God. Mighty is the word Gibor, G-I-B-B-O-R in Hebrew. And it means powerful by implication. A champion. Mighty. I don't know how much I can stand right here when I talk about mighty God. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I've read in that book where he said, amen, if you're living right. You see, we use the name Jesus as a charm. Okay? Amen. We think we say Jesus and that caps it all off. In the name of Jesus. Name is synopsis with character. That word synopsis is a big souped up word, means the same as. Okay? The name is the same as character. If I come to Florence, Montana and I start hunting around, I didn't know Mike Metzger and I start asking, do you know Mike Metzger? I go to the post office. You know a guy named Mike Metzger? Well, we get his mail here. Amen. Can you tell me a little bit about him? Amen. Well, I know that he's got several children. Amen. I know he pastors a church. I think he's got a business that sets up manufactured homes and puts them together. Oh, yeah. What I've just explained is his character, all right? Who he really is. How? Amen. For us to say Jesus, we've got him to come on the scene. We've got to be living in his likeness, in his character. We've got to be saying what he said, walking like he walks, talking like he talks. Instead of it being a charm to us, we've got to start living like him. Then we can say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And it shall be done.
Hallelujah.
powerful by implication. Amen. You know that song? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Was a kid sang that the other day? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Amen. That's powerful by implication. I'm implying to the fact, and that's what we're doing by preaching. Did you know preaching was never meant to be entertaining? Amen. Preaching was to make you think. You know, folks, hallelujah. Amen. Amen, God. Amen. I don't come to church to praise the Lord. I can do that all by myself in a deer stand. Amen. I don't come to church to praise the Lord because I can do that on a pond bank or a river bank. I come to church to learn about Jesus. I come here to find out where I'm wrong and He's right so that I can be closer to Him. It's what Sister Carolyn said tonight. Amen. The S's. Amen. Amen. I want to know where I need to come to get my heart cleansed. I want to know how I can get my heart cleansed. I want to know who is going to cleanse my heart. I want to know what sin is wrong. I want to know what is right. Amen. I don't want to just come in here and praise. That's the problems we've got in some of these places, and it's coming among us out east more and more. Let's just come praise. Come on, if you'll come up here and praise the Lord. Brother Estes already worked that over good this morning, but if you come up here and praise the Lord, all your troubles will be gone. I tried it. It don't work. But when I fall on my face and I see who He is and I recognize His power, amen, hallelujah, almighty, that's Him. Nothing is impossible to Him.
Hallelujah.
God help me. Amen. He's an almighty God. Just by me saying Jesus is Lord, I'm implicating Him. I'm saying He's almighty. Amen. I don't mean to embarrass anybody here. Zane, do you have a need in your family or your life? I won't embarrass you. But would you stand up and just say, I have this need? I mean, whatever it is.
I got 225,000 miles on a van. I got a need.
So who are you serving?
Living God.
By saying that, he's implicating that God can do it.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. Kevin, you got a need? Stand.
I got a need for a well.
Okay.
70,000 miles.
Are you a Christian?
Yes, sir.
You know what he's doing? He's implicating God. Implicating the mighty
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Hashatahara. Pete, hey Peter, if you got a need, stand, tell it. Okay. Are you serving God? Who is your God? He's implicating that my God is all powerful. He can touch those discs. He can heal that. He can provide a vehicle. He can dig a well. Oh, y'all are too quiet in here right now.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. There's some of you that have got a need tonight. I'm not done preaching, and that's okay. Amen. But there's some of you who've got a need in here tonight. Amen. That you need to implicate. You know what I'm meaning by that? Imply is what it's saying. That my God is mighty. He is all powerful. Amen. He's not a weakling. He's not limited by what we're limited by. He's not limited by nature. He's not limited by our thought. He's not limited by our ways. My God can make a way where there is no way. Hey, read the book. Amen. I don't have time to go into everything He's done for all of them. I gotta go. He's a champion. He's valiant. He's strong. Valiant, that word valiant. The only way I know Define that, he's a man's man. Brother Mike Roberts, he came with us one time. Brother Mike asked me one day, he said, Sanders. I said, yeah. He said, do you see them hurricanes blow in down there on the coast? Yeah. Do you ever get this feeling in you that you want them to strap you to one of them pilasters out there? And when it's at its worst, just look up and say, is that all you got? I said, not really. Of course, I gotta finish this story. A few years later, his wife died, Debbie. I was eating breakfast with him. He said, oh, my God, Senator, I can't hardly live without her. Connie came out here with him, his second wife. I just can't live without her. Senator, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just can't hardly take it. I just wish God would go ahead and take me. I just want to go ahead and die. I said, Roberts, you remember telling me about that strapping you to that pilaster down there, that goes? He just stopped whining. He looked at me and he said, can't you take a joke, Sanders? That's the only thing I can explain to you. Amen. He's valiant. He'll say, is that all you got? I'm telling you, is this nailed down? Woo! Is that all you got? I want to look at you and say, just two bulging discs? I don't mean that wrong. Okay? A well? Just a vehicle? Is that it? That's what he is. Be valiant. He says, is that all you got? I don't mean that he's diminishing you at all. He's saying, I can work at more. Go ahead and put me to the test. Just see what I can do with you. Amen. Step it out. It may not come in your time, but I promise you, he'll be there. He said, he's a mighty God. And he said, he's an everlasting Father. That word, the everlasting, is A-D, and it means duration, perpetually. I'm not going to get into all this. There's so much in it. How many didn't have, or you didn't have a relationship with your father? Raise your hand. Okay. You got one now. And he's not going to leave you. He's not going to quit. He's not gonna cast you on the street. Mutual preacher friend of ours, I felt like I had a word for him. He'd adopted three children. I'd been there. And I didn't really know what it was about until I sat down in his study with him. And he said, well, this certain preacher had told me. He said, and he called his name. He called me, and he said, they come from druggy homes. They've come from horrible situations. And if you succeed with them, it'll be a miracle. Because I've never seen it happen yet. I stopped him right there, and I said, Josh and Johnny was destined. Their daddy had spent 26 years behind bars. He told me himself that's the only place I could stay clean. Killed his first man at 15 years old. Shot a cop in Chicago. His mama was a hooker on the streets of Chicago. And we dried her out that night. Don't mean to be too explicit here. She said, I've seen nights. She told my wife, she said, I've seen nights when I went to supply my habit. I went to 100 men. And God brought them into my life.
That's right.
Mine and hers. Hallelujah. I look back at him and I said, I rebuke that. He said, well, one man said, told me it's in their DNA. I remember one day I looked at them and I said, now son, your DNA is blah, blah, blah. Boy, the Holy Ghost smacked me upside the head and he said, I've done a transfusion. They don't have that anymore. They've got my blood is what God said. Amen. I seen tears start down that man's face. He said, I've been waiting to hear that.
Amen.
I've been waiting to hear that. Hey, man, do you not have a father? You got one now. Amen. As a matter of fact, he's enough your father. Amen. At the New Testament said you can call him daddy.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Amen. My dad's dead and gone. My dad's already passed away. How many times I'd like to pick the phone up and call him and say, what would you do? What did you do? What would you tell me to do? But I can't. And so I just fall on my face and I say, Father, Daddy, I need your advice.
Amen.
I'm going to spend time on this.
Amen.
I'm not going to spend time on this. I did Sunday, last Sunday. He is a provider. He has wisdom. And he has authority. So trust your Father. Trust your everlasting Father.
Amen.
There's no end to him. He will not leave you. As a matter of fact, when you're lonely, when his disciples was lonely, do you know what he told them? When they was afraid, he was going to leave them. And they wouldn't have anybody to turn to. He said, I'll not leave you, what? Comfortless. I'm telling you, I'm not to the place I really want to get. But he said, I'll never leave you comfortless. If I go away, I'll pray to the Father and he'll send a comfort. What? Who was with him? Who was with the disciples when they couldn't get across the water because of the storm? Jesus. Who was there when they couldn't cast out the demons? Jesus. Who was there when they couldn't feed the multitude? Okay. He was their comforter. You see that? He was there to rescue. And they were afraid he was going to leave and all these issues come to their life. And how are we going to manage this? He said, you'll have the Holy Ghost. He'll lead you. He'll talk to you. He'll guide you. So he's an everlasting Father. But really, this is the place I want to get to. He said he's the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. The word prince is the word S-A-R in Hebrew, and it means head, chief, governor. Peace, we know it, is shalom. That's the reason why it's called Jeru, what? Salam, is because it's the city of peace. Boy, don't they need that tonight? And that word means happy, safe, health, prosper. Debbie and I have got to the point when we have a health issue at this age, you know, you just like that old 1948 Buick. You get out of bed, you start that Buick, and it just kind of groans, wrong, 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 till I can get down and plug the coffee pot in. And then it starts a little better. But it's still not. Rum! Okay. Where'd that come from, huh? It's already on the air. So he is the prince. He is the governor, the chief. Psalm 23 is what we have coined as ours. When we're going through a physical issue, the Lord is my shepherd. Wait a minute. Won't you put this little word in there? The Lord is my shepherd physically. I shall not want. If he wants to lead me in the stable, he'll lead me in the stable. If he wants to lead me in green pastures, the Lord is my shepherd physically. The Lord is my shepherd financially. The Lord is my shepherd morally. The Lord is my shepherd mentally. And what's the next phrase say? What does he do? He leadeth me beside still waters physically. Now think about that. I'm hurting, I'm aching, but Lord, lead me beside those still waters. I'm having financial trouble, I'm having mental trouble. Lord, lead me beside those still waters. Then what does he say? He restoreth my soul physically. When he touches me, my shepherd, you can go all the way through that with whatever your issue is. He's the governor. He's the prince. Now I'm going to read you some stuff here. Okay, Leviticus 17, you don't have to turn there, but Leviticus 7, you go down to verse 11, you'll see where the ritual is for a peace offering. Or sometimes it is called a thanksgiving offering. They coincide, a peace offering and a thanksgiving offering. And you come, and whatever it is you're offering, it's a willing offering. It's not demanded of God for them to do this. But it was willing. And so you come to the priest. You hand the priest your thanksgiving or your peace offering. And the priest then takes his portion out of it. And then he gives back to you your portion after he's offered God his portion. Boy, it's quiet in here. And what that does is connect you, priest, and God. Now, maybe the reason why you go through so many difficulties is you've never absorbed an offering to God for peace. Thanksgiving. It is a willing sacrifice given to the priest and then offered to the Lord. This unites the giver, the priest, and God. There will be no true worship. There will be no true fellowship. There will be no true union unless there is an identification with Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. This offering is an automatic response to the acts of God's divine benefits. This is also connected to the expectation of divine benefits. Okay, translate that for me, Sanders, since you ask. What that simply means is when God, it's not my tithe, it's not necessarily my offering for revival or missions, and it's not necessarily my alms. It's just, Lord, when I look back over my life and I see how good you have been to me. Brother Willie testified tonight, I think about his arm, his boy back here, his arm, and then his over here on this side. Amen. Not just the physical aspect, but everything. My wife has, you know, if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be married. Matter of fact, I'd probably be dead. I'd probably be in jail somewhere. I told you the other night, I think me and this guy would have met somewhere. It'd probably been in prison, but we'd have met, okay, no matter what. Amen. Why? But the grace of God come into my life. And when I start looking back over my life, and I've got a wife that stayed with me. Amen. I've got a wife that cares about me. I got a wife that loves my children and has loved my children. I got a wife that loves the ministry that God gave me. Amen. Why shouldn't I give him? Just come in someday and say, Lord, you've been so good to me. Amen. It doesn't necessarily have to be money. It doesn't necessarily have to be anything. I don't know what it may be, just coming to the church and praying for 2 hours. It may just be fasting a day. Amen. Lord, you've been so good to me. I just want to show you my appreciation for this. Oh, amen. Nobody has to make me. The pastor didn't call for a prayer meeting. The pastor didn't ask for an extra offering. Nobody said I need to clean the church. Nobody said I need to mow the yard. Nobody said I needed to do this. I just want to tell the Lord, I see how good he's been to me. So therefore, I offer this offering up to him.
Amen.
Let me read you something. Philippians 4:7. Well, let me back up here just a minute. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 14. You know what it says? It talks about Jesus coming to this earth. And you know what? When he first landed on this earth as a babe in a manger in a stable, glory to God in the highest, and what? On earth, what? So his beginning, and now he's the Prince of Peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, the shalom, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, and that word understanding in the Greek is intellect. the peace of God that passes all your intellectual reasoning shall keep your hearts. That word heart is, it is thoughts or feelings and minds. That word mind is perception or purpose. How? Through Christ Jesus. Can I read it this way? And the peace of God which passeth all intellect shall keep your heart, or shall keep your feelings and thoughts and your perceptions through Christ Jesus. How do you perceive it? Peaceful. I go on. How about John 14:27? My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. That word troubled is the Greek word terasso. And it means let not your heart be agitated. We don't have agitators in the washing machines anymore. My wife says, I wish we did have. Oh, she has one? Son, get her in that house quick and get her. Never mind. Let not your heart be agitated, neither be afraid, which is the word dielano, which means timid. Don't get agitated about what's going on, and don't be timid about it, because the world didn't give me this peace. Am I doing it right, Sister Debbie? The world didn't give it to me, and the world ain't taking it away. I read about three boys in the Old Testament, and you can probably tell me who they were. They were Hebrew boys, and they was getting ready to put them in the fire. Do you know who they were? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. Oh, Shad over here. Amen. Let's put a Shad. Meshach, and Abednego. No, Abednego, right here. They just saying, oh, king, we're not afraid of you. We're not afraid of what you're going to do. In other words, they said, we're not cautious about this. In other words, they said, we don't have to. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't get together and say, hey, Shad, you going to stand? Are you going to bow? Meshach, are you going to stand? Are you Abednego? See, they didn't have to get together and discuss this. Because they said, we're not careful to answer you. I don't care what he's going to do or he's going to do, he's going to do. That's not the issue. The peace is down in here. Amen. And when that's done, it don't matter where I am, where they stand. Amen. We're still going to stand for you, for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Can I go on and say, I read about two old boys in the New Testament. Amen. They were in stocks and bonds. They had been, the Bible says they were beaten. Amen. They were pretty sore. They was pretty tore up. Amen. But long about midnight hour. Amen. I can see old Paul look over and say, Si, how you feeling, buddy? He said, well, on the outside, I'm pretty roughed up. But old Paul, I'm going to tell you something. Down on the inside, I don't know, something's rising up in me. How you doing, Paul? Well, I'm about like you, but I'm feeling it too. Amen. And about that time, one of them broke out and said, he ain't never done me nothing. Done me nothing but good. Boy, it sounds good. Let's do it again. He ain't never done me nothing. Done me nothing but good. Why? It wasn't their circumstances. It was the peace of God that passes all the agitation I'm in that gets me where I'm at.
Amen.
I'm going to stop. I picked up a book, and I don't recommend it for everybody. It's called Bleeding While Preaching by a black man. Pastored a lot of churches up north. I'm talking about New York, Maine, Rhode Island, several churches, big churches. And I thought, that looks good because I know I've been there. Been bleeding while I'm preaching. I didn't care much for it anyway, a lot of it. But nestled down in about the middle of that book was this little story. He said, a church I used to pastor, I believe it was in upstate New York. He said, I got word that Deacon Burl was, the blacks called it, low down sick. So he said, I got in my car and I drove to that hospital. So I walked to the ICU, 100 years old. And he said, I asked a nurse, I said, can I go in and see Mr. Burl? She said, sure, but you can't, he won't talk to you. All he's done for the last 2 days is lay with his face toward that wall, and he won't answer anybody or respond to anything. So, I'm trying to think of that guy's name that's the author. Amen. H. Beecher Hicks, Jr. He said, I walked into that room, and I said, Deacon Burl. He never moved. So I raised my voice a little bit, and I said, Deacon Burl. He said, slowly that 100-year-old man rolled over, set his steely eyes on me, and he said, preacher, you can't make me doubt him, because I know too much about him. No matter what comes to this world, no matter what comes to us as Christians, have you got it settled in your heart? You know enough. I'd love to tell you all about my Jesus. Amen. Have you got it settled in your heart that when the rapture takes place, you're out of here because you know enough about him? But until then, do you know enough about him to stay loving him?
There you go.
As Brother Estes would say, come on, hon, and help me. Kevin, you know enough about him? Don't answer me. That this world can't make you doubt him. Pete, Anna, Brother Mike, you learned enough about him. Yes, Sister Debbie, Brother Wooly, the old Texan, George, Chris. I'd love to tell you what I think of Jesus. In him, a friend so kind and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus for my calling. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. Would you stand?